Okay, it's a special schus to be back together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Before we begin, just want to thank, we had an anonymous sponsor tonight who wanted to sponsor tonight's shiur, obviously, first and foremost, Leila Nishmas, all the Heilige Kedoshim that haven't left our minds and our hearts for one moment. May Hashem, all the words of Chizik and Isaurus and words that hopefully will help lift us up will be a big schus for their neshamos. Bez Hashem is baruch. But also, and I think it's very appropriate, this family are celebrating today the birthday of their Bechor, first birthday of their Bechor. And part of our avoida, every single one of ours, is to go me'afelu la'eru, mishibu l'gula. And to, from the most difficult times in our life, to also learn to appreciate the time that we have, to appreciate family, to appreciate the little things. And it's a schus, really, to share words of Torah for his schus as well. And it should be a year of simcha and bracha for this family, for their son, and for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to start by just reading you a very, very short story. Because I think this story, in a certain sense, sums up really everything. Because every one of us, every member of Klal Yisrael, for this past week, it's really exactly a week ago, right now, all that we've had are questions. Very strong questions, very real questions. There's a lot that we don't understand. A lot of brokenness. A lot of questions without answers. With really no answers that can be given. So I happened to read this just yesterday. It's in a book by a book about a tzaddik, Reb Chaim Goldberg. Reb Chaim Goldberg was of the biggest Bali Tzedakah Bali Chesed of our generation. He ran this incredible Tzedakah organization, Eretz Yisrael, that literally supported thousands of people. All that he did, he lived, breathed, and walked and talked Chesed. His partner in this is someone I'm very, very close to, Rav David Leib Cohen. If any of you ever, together with myself, took part in our Matanos L'Avyonim, you know, that we always have every year, it was to his tzedakah and to old Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael that he made sure would have so much. And this book is really about his life, but there's a side story, and this goes back. He grew up in Chicago, and it's a story about the Rav where he grew up, who was a big tzaddik, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Meisels. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Meisels saw Gehenna Mal Aretz. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Meisel saw much worse than any of us saw. He went through the Holocaust. He was known as the Dayan of Auschwitz. Imagine what it was to be the Dayan of Auschwitz. To have to answer the Shailas. Questions in Auschwitz. All the questions that would come up about life or death. And he miraculously survived. And he moved somehow to Chicago, and he was a Rav in the shul. And one day, he went over to Rav Yitzchak Goldberg, this Chaim Goldberg's father. Told him to go over to a fellow, an elderly Jew who was a survivor, a Kaddish to a Jew, and ask him how he was privileged to live such a long life. And Rav Yitzchak did that, and I want to read to you just one paragraph what his answer was. He says, "When I was in the camps, after a day of backbreaking labor, my friends and I would all come back to the barracks and talk. We tried to encourage one another and give each other hope. Often people came up with difficult questions. Questions about the Almighty and faith. One time when the question was directed at me, I responded, 'I'm not asking any questions. Because if I ask questions, then the Almighty will tell me to come upstairs so He could explain everything to me. However, I'm not interested in leaving this world just yet. If I have no questions to ask, then He will have no reason to bring me upstairs to do away with my doubts. That is how I was zoicha to a long life. By not asking questions. He wasn't saying he didn't have questions. He had questions. He had strong questions. What he lives through, what he saw, very real questions. Similar questions to the questions that we have over these last few days. But he understood those questions don't have answers in this world. It's not that they don't have answers. They don't have answers in this world. They only have answers above. They have only answers by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself, who understands it all. Who understands what we can't understand. And therefore, why should I ask the questions? Because there will be no answers. But then what is the answer? If there are no answers to those questions in this world, and they're very real questions. I had a lot of questions today. I was driving back here from Teaneck after paying a shiva call by the Morris family. Heart-wrenching. And I had a lot of questions. We all have a lot of questions. My son, who was in Meron that night, who I had to wait an hour to speak to, and that was of the hardest hours of my life, terrified. And after that hour, I spoke to him for like 10 seconds, because he couldn't talk. He was looking for his friends to make sure they were alive. But I finally spoke to him at 4 o'clock in the morning. He had a lot of questions. A lot of real questions. But if we explain and understand that there are no answers to these questions, so how do I deal with it? How do I move on? Usually when a person has questions, if I don't have answers, that's crippling. I'm not able to live my life then. I'm stuck. I'm in distraught. If I have all these questions that have no answers, what am I to do? How can I continue on? So we all know these are very, very big days of Bro. We're in the middle of this all, we're in the middle of Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer are tremendous days of growth. Every day. That's why we're counting, right? Very famous question, but this, why we count, right? We've all heard this question. Why are we counting up and not counting down? Usually we count down to occasions. Why are we counting up? I always believe the answer was to teach us that these are days of growth and we're working on ourselves and therefore we're counting up because I'm improving, I'm growing, and I'm looking, I'm bigger today than I was yesterday, not smaller. And why is that so? We really learned that from the Yidden who left Mitzrayim. Right, there's a very famous idea, the Rechayim HaKadosh from Parshas Emor made this famous last week's Parsha. That when we left Mitzrayim, you've all learned this before. When we left Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. We were on the lowest of low. We were walking like the Egyptians. We were desensitized through all of spirituality. Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah v'halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We were idol worshippers. Scary. Sometimes it feels a little bit like modern day America. I don't mean us in this room, but so many of us, sadly, have been influenced by the immorality in the world that we're around. And think that we're an American Jew and not a Jewish American. But so they came out, they were in the 49th level of Tumah, and they weren't fit to receive the Torah. That precious Torah, the most special gift that's ever been given. So we needed these 49 days to grow, right? You've all learned this already. We needed these 49 days to purify ourselves. The Or HaChaim says it was like similar to a woman who counts Sheva Nikiyim, 7 days to be able to become pure. So too we are counting 7 weeks to be able to become pure in order to be able to be fit to receive the Torah. This is just Chazara. I know you know this. But here's my question for you. We, you and I, if we want to grow, we want to work on ourselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 ways to grow. I could take any area. I could say, I want to work on my tefillah and daven with more kavanah. I want to work on my tznius and dress in a particular way. I want to work on my kavod for Shabbos and connect more to Shabbos Kodesh. I want to work on learning a little bit more every day. Again, take your pick. I have 613 ways to grow. So we have a Torah. And that's how we purify ourselves. That's how we become more pure. What did Bnei Yisrael do? What did Bnei Yisrael do? They didn't have the Torah yet. What did they do to purify themselves? What did they do to improve, to grow during those 49 days? And they did, seemingly. They got the Torah. But what did they do? There are a few possibilities, I believe. One, I've spoken about one a long time ago. I don't remember if it was in our shir, in other shir, but in the concept of Derech Eretz, Midos, Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. I want to suggest something else tonight. You see, there's an idea. We know there's 613 mitzvahs. And there are a few tzaddikim who have compiled lists of what those 613 mitzvahs are. The Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvahs, maybe some of you have seen. The Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, has a list of the 613 mitzvahs. Because how do you exactly know which are the 613? Some of them, like Lo Yia Lecha Elohim Echirim, not to have other gods. There are a lot. Lo Sishtachve, Lo Sav. Are those different lavim, or is that one category? How do you categorize and how do you find 613? So the Bahag, in his list of 613, he's missing one that's very obvious. He's missing one that wouldn't be off any of our lists. He's missing Amunah. He has 630 mitzvos and doesn't mention Amunah. Puzzling. Comes along the Ramban. And the Ramban explains one of the most beautiful ideas in the world. And the Ramban explains that it's not that the Baha'i didn't believe Amunah was a mitzvah. But you can't have Amunah as one of the mitzvahs. You have Shabbos, and you have Shatnez, and you have Tzitzis, and you have Amunah. No. Amunah is part and parcel of every mitzvah. Amunah is the foundation of all mitzvahs. Without Amunah, you have nothing. Think and stop and think for a moment. Why do I keep every mitzvah? Why am I keeping Shabbos? Because I believe in Hashem who gave me Shabbos Kodesh. Why am I dressing pitznias? Okay, there's some morality to it. Maybe I dress in some way, but exactly the way I do, please. Because there's a Rebbeinu that runs the world. Why am I davening? Every single mitzvah is rooted in Amunah. So the Bahag doesn't have Amunah as one of the 613 because it's the foundation of all mitzvahs. With this Ramban in mind, we could understand what Klal Yisrael was doing and therefore what our avodah is during these days. These are days of growth. You know how Klal Yisrael improved and grew and purified themselves to prepare to receive the Torah? They worked on the foundation. Before I receive the Torah, the foundation of every mitzvah is going to be Amunah. So I have to work on my Amunah. And they worked on their connection to Hashem. And believing in Hashem. And their bitachon in Hashem. And looking around and after Kriyas Yamsuf and Eser Makos, realizing Hashem is by my side. Hashem is taking care of me every single moment. And He's here right now. He's bringing me Mon. And there's a bear Miriam. And there's Anani HaKavod. And this is the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life. And He's here for me. And He's always going to be there for me. And I wake up in the morning and I say, Modani, thank you for another day in this world, Hashem. Thank you for giving me my ability to speak, to see, to hear, to breathe. And that's what Klal Yisrael is working on. And I don't yet need the Torah for that. I need to connect to Hashem in my life and recognize all that He does for me. And know how incredible He is. And know that He's running the world. And that He has the master plan. And that He understands everything, even when I don't. And then I'm ready to receive a Torah. Then I can start keeping mitzvahs. Only then. And seemingly, if that was the avodah of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, that's our avodah. That's what these days are for. And that's the only answer. The only answer is Amunah. The only answer is to lift up our hands and say, I don't have answers to the questions, but I have a global answer. And that is that there's a Ribbono Shel'Olam who does know the answers to these questions. There's a Ribbono Shel'Olam that has a plan. There's a Ribbono Shel'Olam that's orchestrating it all. And even though I don't understand, He's bigger than me. You know what we are if we say, I need to understand? You know what we are? It's full of gaiva. That means, who am I? I'm 41 years old, Arya Cohen, who knows nothing. I'm supposed to understand all the details of the world and I should be privy to everything that happens in this world and why it's happening. What do I know? I'm nothing. But there's an Eibishter. There's a Ribbono Shel'Olam who is Ein Sof. There's a Ribbono Shel'Olam who does understand. And just because I don't have the answer doesn't mean there aren't answers. It just means I'm limited. And with that emunah, I have the perseverance and the strength to move on. With that emunah, I will still mourn and be sad and care deeply about each kaddush that was lost. But I'm not destroyed. And there's not yish and not despair. I'm continuing to go. Carrying on. Carrying on with my emunah. It happens to be what Lag BaOmer is all about when this all happened. Lag BaOmer is all about Emunah. Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 Talmidim. And what did he do? He took five new on Lag BaOmer and said, I'm going to continue to build. How could he do that? You think he understood why? Shkoyach, we read the Gemara and we talk about Shlo Nagu Kavol Zelazah. Oh, we have to respect, we have to care. That makes sense to us if we really stopped and thought about it. Because they weren't respectful, 24,000 died. You think Rabbi Akiva was okay? How do you think Rabbi Akiva was? These Talmidim were like children, trust me, as a Rebbe. What did he do on that day? On Lag BaOmer, he rebuilt. You know how? How? Because of his emunah. Because of his deep emunah. And yes, we're suffering, but there are people suffering a lot more. And open up your ears and listen to those people. You know what you listen from those people? All you hear are words of emunah. You see a video of a 10, 11-year-old boy who was there, who thought he was going to leave this world and who screamed out to Hashem Shema Yisrael. And he's sitting in a wheelchair next to his father who was also thought he was going to leave this world and who lost a brother, unfortunately. And when the reporters ask him, what gave you the strength, this 10, 11-year-old? What was his immediate answer? Immediate. Emunah bitachon. Emunah bitachon. 10-year-old. Only in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what we're doing here. Raise your children in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure the children, I mean, halavai, I hope the children here as well, we're raising them properly, but it's an Eretz Yisrael dikayid, who has Hashem in his mind, Hashem in his heart, who lives it. You can't just say it. You got to be living it. It's not lip service. 10-year-old doesn't know from lip service, by the way. It's real. It's real emunah. And with emunah, you hear of a Brezhnev Rechas who lost his son, who says all night, Thursday night, he couldn't sleep. Of course, none of us could sleep, so of course he couldn't sleep. And he says, he's davening Hashem, Hashem, you took my son, I'm a Kabbal, but please, one thing I ask of you, don't take my Amunah. That's what he said. Amunah. And a young woman that I've been in touch with, was 19 years old, who lost her brother, who was just married 18 months before, who says to me, I'm not angry. She wrote me an email. She wrote, I'm not angry at all, and I mean it. She wanted to emphasize, like, mean it. And she says, my brother was a kadosh, and he was a karavan. It's not normal, the moon of Klal Yisrael. Incredible. And that's our avoda. And that's the only way to get through, and we have to believe it with all our heart and all our soul and everything we have, that there's a Ribbono Shel'Olam and he has a plan. And he knows what he's doing. And he knew what he was doing then every moment. And I know we don't have answers because we can't comprehend because we're human beings. But there are answers in Shemayim. And our only answer is Emunah. I want to share with you a very deep Torah. I was contemplating going back and forth about this Torah, giving this Torah over here or not, because it's a very deep Kabbalistic Torah. But I just couldn't not, because I can't stop thinking about this Torah. And there's something very special here, I think. I think this Torah itself could bring a nechama. You know, the Torah of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Torah of Lag BaOmer, the Torah of when all this happened, a lot of the Zohar, a lot of Kabbalah, deals with the Shemos of Hashem, the names of Hashem. Now, we know certain Shemos, right? We know Elohim, we know Shem Havaya, Yud Kevavke, we know Kel, Kai, and maybe you have a slight understanding of those names. There are many, many, many other very deep names that we're not aware, and that's a lot of Kabbalah deals with these names. And the idea why Hashem has so many names is because the name of a person is the essence. Hashem's essence needs many, many names to explain to us and all about the Ribbono Shel Olam, basically, and how he connects to this world in various different ways. So, for example, what we do understand is the Shem Elohim. We've been taught this, and we know Elohim is Din, is judgment. Shem Havaya, Yud Kevavke, is Rachamim, right? We've learned that before. I'm not going to get into the deepest depth of it right now. But so Elohim is Din. We see this Rashi all the way at the beginning of Bereishis that teaches us this. So whatever happened a week ago tonight, whatever happened which we don't understand, all of that seemingly came from Hashem. He has his plan. But from this, specifically the way he connected to this world was the Shem of Elohim. Right, that's Din. This was surely judgment, which we don't understand. Elohim. Okay, that's not where we're getting deep yet. Okay, bear with me. You ready? So how are you mamptik Din to sweeten judgment? Because that's what we all want to do. With all our questions, we'd be happy to not have the answers as long as we bring mercy and bring Yeshua and bring Tchias HaMeisim and bring Mashiach. I don't have to have answers. Just do it. Just do it, Hashem. So we want to be, more than anything else, more than having the answers, we want to be mamptik the din. We want to, what's called, sweeten the judgment. So there's a deep idea that the letters that are closer to the beginning of the alphabet are more full of rachm and more deeply connected to Hashem, and later are more full of din. And the reason is because the Aleph Beis were the first really creations of the world, because Hashem looked into the Torah to create the world, and the Aleph Beis made up the Torah. So the earlier letters were created first, therefore they're more deeply connected to Hashem. The later letters are more disconnected. So Al Pi Kabbalah, the way to be mamptik din, to sweeten judgment, is take the letters of Elohim, which is judgment, and bring them to the letters before. Okay, good? So, and that's going to spell out a name of Hashem, which represents the sweetening of judgment. That's a very deep name. You probably never heard of this name. But it's in Kabbalah. It's in the Zohar. And the name is as follows. Aleph, there's no letter before Aleph, right? So Aleph stays Aleph. What's the letter before Lamed? No? Chaf, right? Not a trick question. No tricks here. The letter before Lamed is Chaf. The letter before He is Dalet. The letter before Yud is Tes. So it's Chaf, Dalet, Tes. The mem, from an end of mem, or mem sofit, depending on where you went to elementary school, so changes to a regular mem. So mem and aleph actually stay the same, right? Because they don't go anywhere. Lamed, basically, lamed hey yud becomes chav dalet tes. And that name, aleph chav dalet tes mem, akadim, that name is a name of sweetening the din of Elohim. Now, obviously, it's very Kabbalistic and deep, but let's understand it. Let's understand. Now, first of all, that's the name of Lag BaOmer. How do we know that's the name of Lag BaOmer? It's a name that connects to Lag BaOmer. Because what the three letters that got changed, which are the core of the new shame, because the others are the same, Chav, Dalet, and Tes, 20, 4, and 9, is Gematria 33, which is Lag. What does that name mean? Because what does that mean to me? It's sweetening judgment. How? So if you take the Gematria of the whole word, Alet, Chav, Dalet, Tes, Mem, with the Kailo plus 1, is exactly the Gematria 75, which is Bitachon. And this name, which is the name of Lag BaOmer, because those are the letters that are switched, is the name of Bitachon. The name of trust in Hashem. Bitchu b'Hashem, trust in Adiyad. Ad is Gematria, Al Chav Dalet Tesmet. Bitachon. So that's the name of Lag BaOmer, and that's our Avodah on Lag BaOmer. That's what Rabbi Akiva had, and that's our Avodah right now from this tragedy of Lag BaOmer. So our Avodah of Bitocho, to take the din and sweeten it, is through Bitocho. That's what this name represents, which is the name of Lag BaOmer. Are you ready for this? I don't know if we can handle it, but you ready? What's the din? The din is Elokim, right? But if the Aleph and Mem stay the same in the name that sweetens the din, what's the Iker of the din? It's the three middle letters, right? That's the Iker of the din. Just like the Iker of the Bitachon was the Lag, the Chaf Dal test, the Iker of din are the letters Lamed Hey Yud. Again, I know this is very deep and we don't fully understand why those letters, but through Makabel, we don't have to fully understand everything. So Lamed Hey Yud of Elokim are the Iker of din, of judgment, that happened in that day. What's the gematria of Lamed, Hey, and Yud? 45. The gematria of Lamed, Hey, and Yud. Lamed is 30, Yud is 10, and Hey is 5, is 45. And we all know there are 45 Kedoshim. There are 45 Kedoshim that were taken on that day on Lag BaOmer night. That comes from this Shem Elokim. It's specifically the core of the Shem. Now again, I don't know why, we don't know Hashem's plan. But it was Elokim, it was Lamed Hey Yud of Elokim. And therefore, our Avodah is clear. Our Avodah is to be Mamtik the Din, and turn it into Aleph Chav Dalet Tes Mem. Our Avodah is to give ourselves over to Bitachon. Our Avodah is to trust in Hashem. Like all of these families, somehow. Somehow, in incredible ways, Imam Tik Vidin. That's the only. Like we learn from the survivor in the shul in Chicago, the only way to get the real answers is to go up to Shemayim. So if those answers we're not going to get, our avodah has to be bitachon. Our avodah has to be to accept and understand that I don't know, but there's a Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world. You know, there's a beautiful song that's going around for a long time, but even these days more than, because the lyrics are so beautiful. It was written, I believe, more so for COVID. More so we need it these days. Song by Benny Friedman, a Yid. And I hope you've been listening to the words, because it's everything we're saying. Because a Yid never breaks. And a Yid never bends. And a Yid never gives up in the night. A Yid perseveres through the deepest despairs. His emunah strengthens him for the fight. And a Yid understands that Hashem has a plan. And that's all it takes to make it through. That's it. Meaning, I don't have answers. I just know that Hashem has a plan. And that's all it takes to make it through. To persevere. To strengthen him through the fight. His tata loves him. That's what a Yid holds on to. That's it. We have to believe it with all our heart and all our soul. That's how we prepared for our Sinai. That's how we're going to prepare for our Sinai. A little over a week away. That's how we're preparing. And maybe we've been pushed against the wall this year to have to. Because there's no other answer. You know, everybody asks Lel Seder, the very famous question. You remember this question from kindergarten, first grade, third grade, fifth grade, right? Ilu, Dayenu, this beautiful tefillah of thank you Hashem, of Amuna. But we have that one that everybody asks on, right? Ilu kerveinu v'nei Har Sinai, v'lo nason lo Torah, Dayenu. If we would have come to Har Sinai and not gotten the Torah, Dayenu. And everybody asks, really? What purpose would have there been to go to Har Sinai and not get the Torah, right? And everybody has that beautiful mashal. You're walking into the perfume store, right? You remember telling it over like 16 times in your life, like every year. Maybe tonight we could suggest something a little different. You know why Ilu Kervenu Fner Sinai V'lanas Olas Torah Dayenu? Because our whole avodah during these days was to build our emunah. And when did we finally have a culmination of strengthening that and being pure in our emunah? Was at Har Sinai. When Hashem Himself, B'chvod V'atzmo, spoke to each and every one of us. Our neshamos were there and we heard Him. And there was no denial. So if you brought me to this emunah, even if I didn't have the Torah, Dayenu. Because this emunah will get me through anything. This emunah that we can have, and we do have, and we have it within ourselves, and you have it within you. I was very upset. A parent called me to discuss how their child was suffering through this. I mean, and I understood. I was talking, and they said that they told their child, you know, the families that are going through this and had loss, Hashem would never give someone an Nisayon that you can't persevere through and deal with. They have it within them to deal with it. But I'm not sure how you're going to, but we're going to get you through this. Something to that degree. I don't remember the exact words that this parent said to me. And Imam Isha almost took this parent through the phone. And I screamed, don't ever tell your kid that. Your kid also has it within them. Your child also has it within. Your child has that emunah also. Because if your child's suffering, your child was also hit by this. And Hashem's giving an Nisayon to her in a different way, maybe. And you don't think your child then has it within herself to have this emunah? We all do. Sometimes it's covered over and we have to dig it out. But we have it. We should be eating, sleeping, drinking, breathing emunah. This is what I saw in Torah from the Tzaddik of Mordechai Pogromansky. And he said there's a famous pasuk in Chabakuk. V'tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Tzaddik lives with his emunah. Pasha pshat, I always understood. Tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Is that, like we're saying, emunah is the foundation of his life. Emunah gives him chias. Gives her a chias. Gives her him the ability to live. He says, you know what tzaddik be'emunaso yichya is? He says, a tzaddik, tzaddikas, is someone who eats emunah, who drinks emunah, who sleeps emunah, who breathes emunah. The tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. His whole life is emunah. And that's how we have to be. And that's how we could mamish just live in the most special of ways. And that's how we can persevere through the most difficult of times. That's how we're going to be okay. That's how we're going to rebuild. That's how we're going to move on. Stronger. Not forgetting chas v'shalom. Learning and appreciating more and taking things upon ourselves. And realizing, do a cheshbon and nefesh. It's a wake-up call, and it's real, and it's not to be dismissed. But I have emunah. I know that Hashem has a plan. I know they don't have answers, but I know Hashem has a plan. There's another story in this book by that same Rav, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Meisels. He said that he was given a present from his grandfather, who's the Baal Yitav Lev, a special sefer, the Segedah Rebbe. He had his atara on the back of his talis, and he had it on his talis. And he always felt that was a big shmirah for him. And he had that talis with him through all the years of the Holocaust. And when he was thrown into Auschwitz, he had that talis with him until he was sent to the showers. Baruch Hashem, the showers. But he had to get undressed and throw all his possessions in that pile along with his talis. And he was broken. He felt that talis would always protect him. Miraculously, he was giving a job to be the one that would sort through all the stuff that was in the pile. And when he was doing that, he found his talis. Now he couldn't take the talis, it was too bulky, he'd be caught, he'd be killed. So he took the talis, he cut it up, and he made a pair of talis katan, tzitzis, out of it. And he could wear that under his uniform and hope that nobody would ever see. And that gave him chias, gave him life, gave him felt, shmira. One day, a Nazi, Russia, somehow noticed his tzitzis. He starts screaming and yelling, what are those? And he had a lot of strength, and he looks back at the Nazi. It's a religious garment, a holy kadoshtik garb. Nazi starts screaming at him, starts beating him, takes him into another room, mommy, beating him to the pulp and screaming, you think your God's still with you? You think your God still cares about you? He says, look at you. look at you, you're mamish. Look at your people, look what we've done. Where is God now? And he's mamish beating him. And the guy says, this Russia, this Nazi says to Sfir Shmaiza, says, if you don't give me an answer that makes sense, how you could still believe in your God, I'm going to kill you right now. And somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these words in his mouth and he says to the Nazi, he says, I want you to know. Imagine the following. Imagine there's a world leader who's suffering from a dangerous disease and summoned some expert surgeon. And the surgeon looks at him and puts him on the table and takes his tools and cuts straight into his chest to do a very important surgery. And while he's doing that, the royal shoemaker walks in. And the shoemaker starts screaming, yelling, what are you doing to the king? I would never cut through the heart of the leather. When he makes his shoes, he makes shoes out of leather. What are you doing? How are you cutting straight into the heart? Think the surgeon listened to the shoemaker? Think the surgeon stopped his surgery? The shoemaker thought he was killing him. Looked like he was stabbing him. He was saving his life. And this Rav said to this Nazi, I'm a simple shoemaker who knows nothing about medicine. No, I did not understand why the most compassionate father is allowing harm to befall his children. But one thing I do know, and that is that I'm a simple-minded man of mere flesh and blood who understands nothing about the ways of the Almighty. With that, this Nazi was somehow, through the mercy of Hashem, was macabre, was taken aback by such a special answer. And not only let him go, he even gave him back the talis, the tzitzis. And he survived the war. We're the shoemakers. We don't know what the Rabbanu Shem is doing, why he's doing. Our avoid is to believe. And our avoid is to know Hashem runs the world. Our avoid is to know that there's a plan. And that's what these days are for, to work on our emunah. I want to play for you something very special. I don't recall doing this ever. Maybe years ago, maybe once, twice. But it's been a long time for sure, to play a song. I don't believe any of you have heard this song yet. But I'm hoping you'll take to this song and not stop listening to this song. I have a Talmud who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. 4 years ago. Binyamin Pinchas Zwickler. Binyamin Zwickler was a tzaddik, was a very special person who, when he was in my shir senior year in DRS, he had a growth on his neck and was diagnosed with a very serious cancer. And he needed serious treatment. He wasn't able to go Shana Aleph at first, Teretz Yisrael, but Baruch Hashem, he was able to go eventually, and he had refuos, and he was in remission. Got married. Unfortunately, after a few more years, the cancer came back. And this time it came back in a very serious way, and the diagnosis was he only had a few months to live. I'll tell you what type of tzaddik, what type of emunah he had. I'll never forget. I'm still shaking from it. When he was re-diagnosed and told he has a few months to live, he came to meet with me, and I remember fighting to hold back my tears in front of him to be strong for him. I remember the minute he left, I just broke down. And he looks at me, he says, Rebbe, after telling me the diagnosis, he says, Rebbe, so I think I'm going to quit my job. He had a good job. I said, why are you going to quit your job? He said, if I only have a few months to live, I have to make the most of every day. So I should go back to yeshiva and sit and learn all day. And that's what he did. Quit his job and went back to Shariyash to sit and learn. You hear this? You hear what type of emunah in our midst? It's right here. And he was an incredible musician. He played beautifully. He sang beautifully. He used to come over to my house all the time and play these songs on my couch. And then I have them all, the recordings of him singing them. But recently, some of his close friends, some very special Yidden, they decided to take his songs. They're too special and too powerful. The world needs to hear them. And they got together with some of the, you know, some of the artists that sing, and Arya Kunstler was a big part of it. And they took each of his songs and had someone sing. Joey Newcomb sings one song. Danny Palgon, Arya Kunstler, Ellie Levin, and Ellie Dax. And they took and they have the last song has been Yamin singing himself. It's to me the most special by far. I've listened to it about 200 times in the last week since it came out. And he has one English song. The English song is called Carry On. The name of the album is Carry On. If you want to find this on Apple Music and Spotify, put Carry On under Kunstler because he produced it. I think it will come up. You'll see. And this song, Mamish, is everything we're talking about tonight. Carry on. I'll just tell you the chorus. Carry on. Even when you're lost, I haven't gone. Take an extra look around and you'll feel my presence there. He wrote this song, you'll listen to it. It's a conversation between a father and son. And I didn't mention, but when he was 14, 15, he lost his father as well. His father passed away from cancer, a big tzaddik, a special person. So he wrote this song having two things in mind. It was really a conversation between him and his father in Shemayim, but Artat and Hamel as well. And have that in mind. Because I think this song is what every single one of us needs to hear and needs to live by. Because our avoda now is to carry on with Emunah, and to carry on and know that Hashem runs the world, and carry on and know that Hashem is by our side. So I want to just play this song.
My son, my right hand, I see that you're trying so hard. And the battles you fought are the ones that set you apart. Can't wait to greet you after all these years. But I know you'll do the most good if you stay over there. My father, my only, what is it you would have me do? Of all of the battles I fought, I've won just a few. I'd like to see you, but I know it's not the time. Oh, Father dear, can you please just send me a sign? Carry on. Carry on. We've won a big fight.
So let's carry on. Let's continue on. Let's know that Hashem is by our side every moment. Let's know that Hashem has a plan. Even when we're full of questions. Even when it's difficult. Even when we have no answers. We know that Hashem has answers. I just don't know. And our avodah is to believe in that and to be able to then carry on. And be able to rebuild. And be able to persevere. Be able to look forward to Simcha and Nechama for each and every one of us, and for all Klal Yisrael, to the ultimate Nechama, who maybe Bez Hashem on that day will have the answer. Everyone should have a beautiful Heilige Shabbos Kodesh.